Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Next question, President Biden, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it's Arlette, CNN.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. We've seen more disarray with Russian generals, most recently with the firing of a general who criticized the defense ministry, this following that rebellion by Prigozhin. Does this raise any new concerns about Putin potentially doing more drastic things regarding Ukraine, like nuclear weapons, or potentially against the U.S., like election interference?
Well, first of all, they're already interfering in American elections. So that would not be anything new. They did that last time they tried to. But with regard to, I don't think there's any real prospect, you never know, but of Putin using nuclear weapons. Not only has the West, but China and the rest of the world has said, that's, don't go there. Don't go there. Number two. Number three, I think that determining what happens to Prigozhin, what happens to Vilnius, I mean, excuse me, what happens when we discuss this in Vilnius is God only knows what he's likely to do. Well, I'm not even sure. We're not even sure where he is and what relationship he has. If I were he, I'd be careful what I ate. I'd be keeping my eye on my menu. But all kidding aside, who knows? I don't know. I don't think any of us know for certain what the future of Prigozhin is in Russia. And so I don't know how to answer that question beyond that.
And if I could also ask you something about happening back home. You're seeing the GOP grappling with tying abortion rights to defense issues, including a block on military promotions by Senator Tuberville. What does this say about U.S. military readiness? And would you be willing to talk with Tuberville to try to work out some solution?
I'd be willing to talk to him if I thought there was any possibility of him changing this ridiculous position he has. He's jeopardizing U.S. security by what he's doing. I expect the Republican Party to stand up, and do something about it. They've been their power to do that. The idea that we don't have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the idea that we have all these promotions that are in abeyance right now, that we don't know what's going to happen, the idea that we're injecting into fundamental foreign policy decisions, what in fact as a domestic social debate on social issues is bizarre.
Whose fault is that? That's the problem with this. Whose fault is that?
Exactly.
That is, whose fault is it? So this is the Q&A. This is, if you follow me on Twitter, I had remarked on this, actually. I had said something on this. I'd said that it's the stupidest question that could possibly be asked by a reporter, and it had to do with that Tuberville. I'm sorry, it's still weird to say his name like that because I want to say Tuberville. I've said Tuberville the entire damn time. It's Tuberville. But it's a ridiculous question because it's about the NDAA, which we've talked about at length on the program. And it's about that whole thing, the NDAA, which is the military spending. And I think, what is it, like eight? I was trying to think about like 80 billion, something to that extent, that I think it was that much something. And it is being put in jeopardy by Democrats who are insisting on adding all of this CRT, DEI kind of stuff to it. And that's the whole issue. We're going to talk about that. Welcome to the radio program. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio show, and you can watch the simulcast of the radio show on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. Yes, I'm still dealing with an allergic reaction. I'm on steroids, all this stuff. I went to the doctor yesterday. So I have like a rash all over my face. My eyes were swollen shut yesterday. Still have to do television. See, that's the fun thing about working in TV. The bosses don't give you breaks. You got to go regardless. Doesn't matter if your face is on fire. It doesn't matter if your eyes are swelling shut. You got to go. So we're rolling through it. And so if I'm, it also, like yesterday, it was affecting my vision because my eyes were swelling so much. And so people were like, why aren't you looking at the camera? Because I can't see. Okay. I'm like doing everything I can. I'm like dying on air here. So cut me a flipping break. But for the rest of you, it's good to be with you. So this NDAA thing that they're trying to turn into this big, you know, culture war thing, it's never been a problem before. And I know we talked about it the other day, but I feel like it's really important to go back to it, particularly in light of the president addressing it in Helsinki just a little earlier. But the problem is that the stuff that's being added to it, which is the CRT funding, the travel expenses and payment of abortions for soldiers as birth control, because that's ultimately, I mean, that's what it's being used for. They're using it as birth control. The abortion aspect, and then also the gender transition, like changing yourself. If you're a man and you identify as a woman and you want to cut off your ween, then, you know, the taxpayers get to fund your surgery for that. That's not a joke. That's what Democrats are insisting be added to this. And so you can understand why there are some lawmakers who are going, wait a minute, people are dealing with not being able to pay their bills because of inflation. They're dealing with not being able to pay for basic necessities. I literally just had a headline for you yesterday that went into how basic necessities, Americans are cutting spending on basic necessities, whether it's things like toothpaste and toilet paper. And Democrats have the audacity to demand that as part of a military appropriations bill or a military defense spending bill, rather, that you foot the bill for elective, non-medically necessary, entirely voluntary, quote unquote, gender reassignment surgery. That is asinine. And if it's included in that, hell, I think you should riot. And I'm not joking. This is asinine. So for Joe Biden to freak out and say, well, they're holding all this up, it's not Tuberville that's holding this up. It's not Republicans that are holding this up. Democrats are insisting on using the military as a social experiment at the expense of taxpayers. That's what's holding this up. Y'all, we've never had a problem with this bill before. We never had a problem with this bill until they started doing this stuff. Go back and look. Go back and look at history, how easily this has passed before. We've never had a problem with it until they started doing this. Until they started adding this stuff in there. You tell me what a dude chopping off his ween and turning it into a chick has to do with military readiness. And Holly Hobby here, this lunchbox that asked this question of the president in Helsinki, what a ridiculously cringe, embarrassing question. Well, what does that do to, you know, the Republicans are holding this up. What does that do to military readiness? Are you kidding me? Do you not know what military readiness is? What a ridiculously embarrassing question. The GOP's trying to tie abortion to the military. What does that say about military readiness? It's a legitimate question. No. Oh, it's CNN's Arlette Sands. Curtis Hawk over at Newsbusters, managing editor of Newsbusters. He's the one she's the one who asked that question. CNN's Arlette Sands. He says she's absolutely adored Biden for years. Just an absolutely stupid question. He's like, oh, it's irresponsible. It's jeopardizing America. GOP grappling with tying abortion rights to defense issues. I just want to pause on that for a minute. Who was it that actually introduced abortion, funding abortion on demand for taxpayers? Who was it that introduced that to this military bill, defense spending? Yeah, you're right. It's Democrats. It's Democrats that did it. Republicans didn't do this. I mean, so how are you accusing them of tying this to abortion when they weren't the ones who insisted that this be a part of it? You're shocked that people are struggling. And it's not their fault that you're tying up all these appointments in with this. That's what Democrats are doing. They're tying the appointments up with all of this identity politic and all of the CRT and the trans surgery and everything else. And then they accuse Republicans of, well, I guess you don't want these military. Guess you don't want these, military appointments to go through. Well, why did you add that? Why couldn't you just have a clean defense spending bill? What was so? Why can't they just do clean bills? That's my other question. Why is that such a problem for these people? Good grief! And so, this is what we're looking at. So this is the NDA there, and they've been fighting over that. The president's been in Helsinki. He met with Zelensky. I don't know that guy. That should be interesting. Met with Zelensky. He at one point was asking, or no, he was asked, Biden was asked by reporters at one point, so when is it that you're going to, when can they enter, or when can they go and join NATO? Never? Never. How about never? How about they never join NATO? We got enough problems. We got enough people who don't want to sit here and pull their weight. We don't need any other grifters as part of this organization. None. And that's the truth of it. But oh no. Oh no. So that was the exchange there. And I had, send me over an audio list, please. There was a couple of other Q&As, and I was going to see if I'll pull that up here. I'm going to move on to some other stuff while we get that. In the meantime, as it relates to the cocaine in the White House, well, the Secret Service have concluded their big, exhaustive investigation, everybody. I know that you were very...
They found someone?
No, they totally did not find anybody at all. They found nobody. They found nothing. They don't know who had the cocoa. They don't know. They have no idea. They have concluded their investigation. They said that they just don't know. It's amazing that they can go and find all these parents who talked at school board meetings, but they cannot find whose cocoa it was. They can't find it. Secret Service has concluded its investigation into the small bag of cocaine found at the White House. They are just, gosh darn, unable to identify a suspect, said two sources who are familiar with the investigation. They just, gosh darn it, they just don't know. Golly gee, they just don't know who it was. They just can't imagine. They don't know who. I mean, it's the most surveilled place in the entire world, but, you know, they have no idea. No clue, guys. So, move on. Nothing to see here. They said they combed through the visitor logs and surveillance footage of hundreds of people. They just couldn't identify a single suspect. And they said they couldn't identify the particular moment or day when the baggie was left inside the White. Then that means you suck. Yep. If you can't, then the White House is completely open for attack. If you can't find who can bring what if it was anthrax? Ricin. What if it was any kind? I mean, that's dangerous stuff. They could have brought that in. What if it's fentanyl and they were just poisoning people all throughout the White House? What if? I mean, you're sitting here. This is why the politicization is so ridiculous. Now you're advertising to everyone that there is a security loophole in the White House. You're just advertising it to every Tom, Dick and terrorist Harry that's out there. There's a security loophole in the White House. They said the cubbies where the small bag of cocaine was found is a blind spot. Of course, very, very convenient. Even though it was the hazmat crew that said, no, by the way,
library.
It was in the library. Oh, no, we got to immediately change it to a place where we can say there's no cameras because it's Hunter's. I'm believing that it's Hunter Biden's until you prove to me otherwise. That's how this goes. Hey, if every single mass casualty incident or every single crime committed by a repeat criminal offender is the responsibility of law-abiding gun owners, and this dude gets to skate on felony charges related to firearms, and I'm going to immediately assume, since this is what Democrats in the press like to do, they like to try people in the court of public opinion and convict them before the people even get a chance to respond. This is Hunter Biden's cocaine, and the White House and Secret Service once again covered for him. That's the end of it. Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America? That our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events and now an audio version of the popular popular speech digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis, the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, man, there was apparently lots of nighters, lots of turnitters. That's how some of my family would say it. Thousands are left without power and hundreds of flights were canceled after tornado mega cluster. Is it a mega cluster? Sorry, mega cluster thundered through Chicago, ripping off rooftops, uprooting trees. Eight tornadoes touched down in four counties in northeastern Illinois. It forced O'Hare and Midway airports to halt all air traffic. I mean, the damage is crazy. It was just right outside. I mean, you could see it from the skyline of Chicago. It was crazy. But, you know, it is summer, and you got a lot of crazy stuff happening, so it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Larry Nassar. Now, we told you that Larry Nassar, had been stabbed in jail. You know, he's the pervert guy who worked with the Olympic gymnast, and he's a pedophile. Well, now we're learning more about the attack. According to the Associated Press, a prisoner suspected of stabbing him said the disgraced former sports doctor provoked the attack by making a lewd comment while they were watching Wimbledon. Essentially, Nassar was asking where were the girls at playing in Wimbledon, but it was apparently in a lewd way. And so the prisoner attacked him. Shane McMillan, I mean, if you're going to get attacked in prison, get attacked by a pro, right? He was previously convicted of assaulting a correctional officer. He attempted to stab another inmate to death. He used his own little handmade shiv to attack Nassar. So I'm just saying, you know, some people were mad at me because I said this is textbook FAFO. And they were like, you know, you shouldn't cheer that. Shut up. I will cheer the stabbing of a pedophile six ways to Sunday. And if you have a problem with that, do you got a problem with people stabbing pedophiles? Just wondering. We got a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere because GOP-led midterm turnout, red flag for Dems. Stick with us. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Stunning, really, when you think from campaign cycles gone by that Republicans are questioning and so sort of anti-law enforcement. It's sort of mind-bending that we are at this point, but so we absolutely are. And at every Republican campaign event, every Republican candidate really running for office at any level, there is this skepticism built in of the FBI, of the government, of law enforcement because of Donald Trump. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So this is a manifestation of the Trump era here. Look, I'm not sure anything was accomplished this morning in terms of advancing the ball at all with the
I'm going to need a minute for that. I came up with a million smart aleck responses, none of which are fit for air. Welcome back to, I'm in my defense, I'm on a ton of steroids today because of my allergic reaction. So I have no idea what's going to happen today's show. Welcome back, Dana Lash, with you, your lovable curmudgeon who's all roided out. So his take is that if you criticize FBI abuse, then you're against law enforcement. Huh. Okay.
That's our media.
Who's this guy? It says it in the audio rundown. You guys have it in the audio rundown, but I'm like, who? Who dis?
Zelenia.
Yeah, let's wait. Wait a minute. Let's have some fun here. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, he used to be with Chicago Tribune. So he's a, yeah, he's a newspaper guy. And a newspaper career. Oh, he knows literally nada. He knows absolutely nothing. Oh, he did play trumpet in the Cornhuskers marching band. He did play trumpet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. Of course, he doesn't know it. So he's his hot take is that if you criticize FBI corruption, if you criticize the FBI abuses, then you're anti-law enforcement. Really hot take there. Yeah. Really hot take there, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue. The issue, it isn't, I mean, this, of course, this is coming from the party that wanted to literally defund police. Don't sit here and tell me that they didn't, that it was just a talking point. They literally voted to do it in Austin. In Austin, Texas, the city council literally, they physically, with their own meat sack bodies, walked into the city council chambers, and they literally, with their hands and their minds and their voices, voted to do it. And it wasn't in just one city. It was in a number of cities all across the country, which are under Democrat administration. So don't tell us that they didn't do it, because they did. So this has nothing to do with opposing law enforcement, unless you are presupposing. Actually, it begs the question as to the FBI's activities being classified as law enforcement. You're assuming that what they're engaging in terms of going after, what is the phrase? Radical, traditional radical Catholics, rad trad cath, and parents at school board meetings. Sidebar, honestly, like all of my Catholic friends, why are you not putting that on a t-shirt? Rad trad cath. I mean, that's a t-shirt. You could sell it. Monetize the hate. That's been my saying for like 15 years now. Monetize the hate. But then going after parents at school board meetings. Okay, sidebar. But they can't find the cocaine? They can't find that person?
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. My goodness. Okay, back to the main subject. So the observation is that it's so depressing that Republicans are asking questions about the corrupt and the entirely corrupt and exceeding their authority FBI. You should be glad that we are, especially before somebody like me would get into office. I'm not saying that any of our candidates are like that. In fact, I think they're probably better. That's why I always laugh. I'm like, oh my gosh, some of you people didn't like Trump. Where'd you get me? I'm so much meaner. I would be so much meaner. That's why I could never go for elected office. I wouldn't have anybody. I wouldn't represent anybody that wanted to vote for me. That's an immediate red flag. Red flag. But to question the FBI and to question law enforcement and to question government is the very nature of what it is to be American. Media. That is the very nature of who we are. I mean, some of us have questioning authority so embedded in our DNA. Like, I want to immediately, you know, the first thing I do when I see, like, do not cut this tag off of a pillow or a mat, I cut it off. Like, goofy little things. Right? Or red light cameras. I will literally, like back in the day when that was the thing, I was like, I will go to court and I will literally argue and defend myself and I will make the city waste its time and money into doing this because this is not due process. Oh, it's ridiculous. So that's what we're supposed to do, is questioning the FBI. This is the press. The press shouldn't be questioning the people that are questioning the FBI. The press actually should have beaten the people in questioning the FBI. They should have been the first people out of the gate saying, hold up, why is there so much confusion around this? This is what I don't get. Why? It's like Democrats dig their own rhetorical grave here. Do you not realize that anything you allow your opponent, that anything you do, you're allowing your opponent to do and then potentially build off of? Why would you do that? This kind of makes me think of, if you like siblings, any of y'all ever had, well, those of you out there who have siblings, you know, there's that old situation of, you know, you got to cut like a donut in half or you got to cut like a treat in half. And people are arguing who gets the bigger slice. Well, you cut it in half and then your sibling gets to pick which side they want. So there's an incentive there for you to be as fair and judicious as possible with the portions, right? So it's kind of like that applicable to administration of these powers in these different agencies. You want to be as judicious and as fair as possible because you don't, do you understand? I mean, this can go both ways. So Ray did not help himself here. And I wanted to go through some of these highlights because we did learn some things from all of this. We actually did. There were some things that we learned from this testimony. In fact, I mean, there was a lot of we played some of it yesterday, but I have some new stuff today from everything that was happening, you know, after we were off air. But some of the things that in looking at all of this, some of the big highlights, because he was really defending, Ray was really defending the FBI. And he, you know, he got really mad at Chip Roy at one point because Chip Roy was used the phrase tyrannical. But listen to this. This was very interesting. Audio soundbite 5. Now, Ray was asked whether or not the FBI had confidential human sources in the crowd on January 6th, right? I mean, he could have answered this. This could have been a very easy answer for him. Yes or no? Listen to how this played out. Audio soundbite 5.
Former Capitol Police Chief Stevenson reportedly has asserted that the protest crowd was filled with federal agents. Are you aware of his assertion?
I am not.
Would you agree with him that it was filled with federal agents on January 6th?
I would really have to see more closely exactly what he said and get the full context to be able to evaluate it.
How many agents were actually agents or human resources were present at the Capitol complex and vicinity on January 6th?
Well, again, it's going to get confusing because it depends on when we deployed and responded to the breach that occurred.
How many were
federal agents?
Sure. You and I both know what we're talking different things here. Please don't distract here because we're focusing on those who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th. How many were there?
I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents.
My gosh, I totally don't believe that.
Come on.
Who did it? Not me. The way he did that, to me, I thought he gave away a tell. I watched that clip, the end of that, a couple of times. I thought that was a tell. The way he tilted his head and scrunched up his face, that was absolutely a tell. He gave a little bit away there, I thought. Now, he was asked again. Audio soundbite 6. He was asked again, you know, were there assets in the crowd? I mean, yes or no? This is a very simple answer. Listen to this.
How many individuals were either FBI employees or people that the FBI had made contact with were in the January 6th entry of the Capitol and surrounding area?
So I really need to be careful here talking about where we have or have not used confidential human sources.
Was there one or more individuals that would fit that description on January 6th that were in or around the Capitol?
I believe there is a filing in one of the January 6th cases that can provide a little more information about this, and I'm happy to see if we can follow back up with you.
I just want an answer. Was there one or more? I mean, you would know if there was at least one individual who worked for the FBI who entered the Capitol on that day.
I just can't speak to that here, but I'm happy to get the court filing.
It's been 2 years, and you're now come before us. The gentleman asks these questions, makes all kinds of insinuations, and you nod your head yes, and then I ask you simply, was there one or more? And you won't answer that. So I'm going to make the...
He won't answer it because it's been answered. We know. I mean, everything that he's saying right there, yes, absolutely, they had assets that were there. He could have easily said, you know what, that's a dumb question. We absolutely did not have assets there. He's the director of the FBI. You're telling me the director of the FBI doesn't know any of this stuff? I don't buy it. He knows everything. He's been implicated in knowing everything. Come on. I mean, this is just silly at this point. I mean, he just has no idea about a lot of things. Audio soundbite 9. This is another example. He just doesn't know. He just doesn't know. How many times did the FBI use illegal FISA queries? FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Agency, the FISA court. How many times did the FBI utilize illegal queries run through FISA to spy on American citizens? Simple answer, right? I mean, you would think it would be a simple answer. Not for the director of the FBI. Listen.
How many illegal FISA queries have occurred under your leadership of the FBI?
Well, there are reports that have come out with different numbers about compliance incidents.
More than a million illegal ones? Because that's what the inspector general said. The inspector general said that in the 3.4 million of these queries, more than a million were in error. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment by the inspector general?
I'm not sure actually that's a correct characterization of the inspector general's findings on that.
The internet will remind you of that in moments. But let's now go to what the court said. The court said it was over 200,000 that have occurred on your watch. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment?
Again, I don't have the numbers as I sit here right now. What I can
seems like
you,
a number you should know. How many times the FBI is breaking the law under?
He's like, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm just the lowly director of the FBI. How can you expect me to know these things? Just can't even believe you're wanting me to know this stuff. Well, I mean, it's kind of important. I mean, this guy, Ray, it was, like I said, some people were saying, oh, it's a masterclass in stonewalling. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that particularly when he got into, and we're going to talk about this, the collusion between foreign governments and tech companies, that was incredibly troubling. But he doesn't know. He just doesn't know. He doesn't know how many times the FBI illegally spied on people after breaking the law with FISA. He has no idea whether or not the FBI had any kind of confidential sources in the crowd on January 6th. He has no idea whether or not the FBI had, at the bare minimum, one asset in the crowd on January. He has no idea about this. But you're convicting people. People are in jail. There are people who are in jail who didn't even go into the Capitol building. They were on the grounds of the complex itself, but they didn't go in the building. They weren't actually even trespassing. They got cited with things like unlawful parading, which I actually had to look up. I didn't even know there was a charge at the time. So because of that stuff, I think that it's if you have assets that were encouraging people to break the law, if you have assets that opened the doors and were ushering people in, don't you think that the American people have a right to know whether or not their government played a part in helping to antagonize and incite a riot? Because that's ultimately what the question comes down to. Did the federal government play a part, any part, in helping to incite a riot at the Capitol complex? Yes or no? And asking whether or not there were assets in the crowd, that's just a bare minimum question. Now, coming up, Ray Epps is apparently filing suit. The guy's on camera. Okay, explain. Wait. I'm going to ask you this. Explain it to me how this guy gets to go after people for defamation when he's on camera doing, like, encouraging people to do stuff. We all saw the footage. Okay, I got a million questions. We're going to get into that. Maybelline faces furious backlash because they're using ugly bearded men to promote their new lipstick line. I'll say it again. Ugly bearded men to promote new lipstick. Bearded men. New lipstick. We're going to talk about that as well coming up. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation and astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188. 887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And we're working in lockstep on to tackle climate crisis, which you've been leaders on for a long time, and in order to literally preserve our planet. It's the only existential threat humanity faces, and we don't have a lot of time, but I'm confident if we continue to work together, we can deal with
it. What?
That's the existential threat?
Climate is the existential threat? I think communism is the existential threat. That's the existential threat. Good grief. So he sits at a table and he was like talking about this in a serious way. Climate is the existential threat. They want you to believe that so they can say that this is why we need to take more of your money, throw it at the sun. We need to launder your money through this concept of green energy and having to. It's like a climate indulgence. We gotta pay for this stuff. We gotta do all this green stuff in order to what? The EVs. I mean, we've got a ton of headlines on those. We were talking about those earlier this week. I mean, his push to get everyone to go to electric vehicles is not a reality, whether it's financial. It's not a financial reality for average everyday people. It's not any kind of reality for average everyday people. It's not a reality for our system. We couldn't even sustain that kind of depletion of energy on the grid. We couldn't. But hey, he likes to say good things because he thinks that they sound like great campaign slogans. Great things to say on the campaign trail, but turning them into reality is something different entirely. So coming up, I don't know what he was talking about here. I think he mixed up Ireland and Iceland when he was talking to NATO members. We've got that. We've got the NATO stuff. We've got culture. Maybelline now pulled a Bud Light. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way.
What about DeSantis, who's going to be on the hustings, so to speak, for the next year? And he's made this a part of his campaign, attacking Disney, saying it's a woke corporation. We've put the company on a pedestal, but they've really embraced the idea of getting the sexualized content in the program line that I'm not willing to cross. I mean, that's what he said. I quoted DeSantis there. How do you respond to that?
Well, so far, what we've said publicly is that we are concerned that he has decided to retaliate against the company for a position the company took on pending legislation in that state. And frankly, the company was within its right, even though I'm not sure it was handled very well, was within its right to speak up on an issue, constitutionally protected right of free speech. And to retaliate against the company in a way that would be harmful to the business was not something that we could sit back and tolerate. And so we have filed a lawsuit to protect our First Amendment rights there and to protect our business, frankly. The other issues that you referenced, look, the last thing that I want for the company is for the company to be drawn into any culture wars. You know, we've operated for almost 100 years as a company, making product that we actually are proud of in terms of its impact on the world. You know, I joke every once in a while we're there to manufacture fun. We're there to tell great stories.
I know, but you can't be happy when there's literally Nazis standing outside the front gates of the park.
That was horrifying, wow. Quite frankly. And it's concerning to me that anyone would encourage a level of intolerance or even hate that, frankly, could even become dangerous action that could be turned into some dangerous act of some sort.
I'm already done with this. This is garbage. I completely reject this. And I also don't believe in the whole thing that he's trying to find a way to get, extricate Disney from this mess. That's Bob Iger, who was commenting on the back and forth between, and it's not just DeSantis. They're trying to boil it down to be just DeSantis. I mean, you're clearly omitting the entire Florida legislature and a number of Democrats, and the most important factor of all in this, the parents. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour with you, Dana Loesch here. So he's really trying to rewrite the history on this. And he, like a lot of people on the left and some really stupid Republicans, there's a handful of them that are just absolutely moronic. They have no capacity for understanding any kind of economic issues. Their illiteracy on any kind of issues related to, local economics, finance, or civics is just mind-numbingly depressing. But I digress. The whole issue with this is it's not a free speech issue. This has nothing to do with free speech. No one said that Disney couldn't speak out. That's not what Disney did, though. Disney didn't just speak speak out. Disney actually organized. Disney smeared parents. Disney was inferring through their employees that people who didn't want men to shake their penises in front of kids, that somehow, you know, the parents were Nazis, etc. They, you know, Disney was upset, and their employees were upset that if your children in elementary school weren't allowed to read books which had illustrations showing minors engaging in blowjobs, then, you know, I guess you're a Nazi. I'm not exaggerating. That is the exact thing that was happening. That's the exact illustrations in the book. That is what drag shows are performances on sex. If you're an adult and you want to go to a drag show, that's your decision. But when you're talking about minors, I mean, are we going to start allowing minors in strip clubs? What's the difference? It's based upon sex. Don't be a moron. And don't assume that we all are as stupid as you are. Now, Bob Iger trying to go along with, what is it, people like Mike Pence and Nikki Haley. Who else? Rory Cooper. Some of these others. And they try to act like, oh, this is a fight against a Mickey Mouse. It's a fight against Disney. No. It's a fight against a corporation that leveraged its anti-capitalist accommodation, special treatment that it received for decades, weaponized it to try to deny parents authority to determine what is or is not age appropriate for their children in school. That was the entire point of the Parental Rights in Education Act, which half of the people opining about it on television and radio didn't even read. And that's unfortunate, because that's where you get the whole, oh, don't say gay. No, that wasn't even in there. It was about parents being able to determine what is age appropriate for their children. So let me ask you this. If you think that it's inappropriate to have a parent to determine what is or is not age appropriate for your child, do you think that parents who want to be able to make that determination that they're Nazis or that they're homophobes or bigots or something? Because this is what this had to do with. That is what the entire bill was about. I've read the damn thing. Because unlike other people on television and radio, I don't want to pretend to know something about the issue. I want to actually know what I'm talking about. And Bob Iger is trying to play on what he assumes is everyone's ignorance. Oh, well, you know, it's a free speech issue. Disney had every right to speak out. No one's talking about Disney's right to speak out, Princess. No one's talking about this. No one's saying a single word about that. Your company received accommodations and treatment that no other company in Florida received. That's a fact. That's not up for debate. For decades, they were allowed to do this. No oversight. And now they want to complain because they weaponized it. They made fat bank off it. Then they weaponized it to go after parents. Parents pushed lawmakers to act. Lawmakers acted. And now they're bitching and moaning. Oh, it's DeSantis. The only reason they're saying it's DeSantis is because he's announced that he's running for president. If he wasn't, they would just be going after general Republicans. And they would still be ignoring the number of Democrats and then the Republican and Democrat parents that actually spurred this to action. It's so pathetic. It's a free speech issue. Disney had every right. No one said Disney didn't have a right, Bobby. I can't stand this gaslighting. I mean, this idea, he's like, the notion that Disney's sexualizing our children is preposterous and inaccurate. Really? Have you seen the receipts there, Bob? We filed a lawsuit to protect our First Amendment rights, and your First Amendment rights weren't in question. You getting special treatment, crony treatment from the government isn't a First Amendment right, you schmuck. It's not. I'm so tired of this. We're not sexualizing anything, really? The bill, Florida Parental Rights in Education, which is now law, specifically stated that classroom instruction, I'm reading verbatim now, and by the way, you can get the bill at floridasenate.gov, flsenate.gov. Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students and according to state standards. That's what it said. Where does it say you can't say gay in there? Bueller? Bueller? Where does it say anything's banned in there? Bueller? Bueller? Where does it call into question Disney's First Amendment right? Bob? Bob? It doesn't. The thing is that under Bob Chapek, they tried to initially they weren't going to get in it, but then the employees began complaining. Why is the company not speaking up about kids that aren't ours? Why? And then finally, Chapek bent the knee and said, well, you know, the struggle is much bigger than blah, blah, blah. Oh, shut up. He's like, we're telling stories and raising voices, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, don't forget all of the videos of all of the Disney executives who talked about pushing LGBTQIA characters in their stories. That's a direct quote from the conference that was held by the president of Disney General Entertainment Content, Carrie Burke. We've played all these videos for you before on air. She had said, quote, she said that she had heard from colleagues and she felt a responsibility to speak. And she and other executives were talking about how they were looking at incredible groundbreaking of Alphabet stories over the years. She said, quote, one of our execs stood up and said, you know, we only had a handful of queer leads in our content. And I went, what? That can't be true. She said, now we have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories, blah, blah, blah. Wait, you're telling me that you're not pushing anything of a sexual nature, Bob Iger, when your own executives are on camera during a Zoom conference, literally saying the opposite, not once, not twice, not three times, a handful of times. We've played the audio. I'm happy to do it again, but it'll take up the rest of our hour, and we have Simon Atiba coming up, and we'll have to boot him. I mean, I have all the audio here. Happy to share it. It came out in March of last year. And they want to act like, no, 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 we're not sharing anything sexual. We're not doing anything like that. Quote, Carrie Burke, I've had the privilege of working with the Moon Girl team for the last 2 years. They've been really open to exploring queer stories. You're talking about stuff for little kids. Especially with trans characters. There's not one way to look at trans. And then they talk about canonical bisexual characters. Oh, for the love. Disney production coordinator Alan March said the team was, quote, committed to exploring queer stories and created a tracker to make sure that we're creating enough gender nonconforming characters and canonical trans characters, end quote. What was it, the quote that Bob Iger said again? Let me find it. What was it that he said? The notion that Disney is in any way sexualizing our children is frankly preposterous and inaccurate. What does he have to say about the people whose checks he signs on camera saying what I just quoted to you? I got the video. I sent some to Kane already. Again, although he already has it, Steve already has it. We already have it because we played it last year when it came out. Does he have a response to that? Who was it that was sitting down interviewing him?
Yeah, who was that?
Who was that stooge? Did they not prep properly? What dumbass reporter was this that sits across from this guy as he says this stuff to you and you don't push back with the existing video? What kind of reporter is that? I mean, do you not even have enough respect for yourself and your profession to at least do the bare minimum and say, well, sir, your employees who are pretty high ranking, like we're talking vice presidents and heads of entire divisions, are on camera saying the exact opposite of what you just said. How do you respond? They didn't even have the self-awareness or self-respect to push back on that? Good grief. This is not DeSantis' feud. It's Disney's feud that Disney started because Disney leveraged its decades of anti-capitalist, anti-conservative special treatment against parents in a fight over parental control of age-appropriate material for their children in schools. The end. Maybelline's in trouble now. You seen this? Golly. Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. It's ma'am. There's your ad. So bearded dudes are now doing makeup tutorials. You know what? I am not going to learn a makeup tutorial from a dude. Your skin's different. Men's skin is different than women's. It is. And this guy, they're bearded and they're putting on lip gloss. And they do duck lips in all of their videos. Like, the duck lips are crazy. I don't know any woman that acts like this. It's cosplaying of women attributes. It's actually sexist. It's woman face is what it is. I mean, this is like vaudevillian woman face is what they're doing. So Maybelline is using dudes with beards to promote their makeup. So they have these two dudes... And they've been, it was part of their Amazon Prime Day advertising. And one of them was applying lipstick. I don't want to see dudes doing makeup tutorials, just like I don't want to see women testing out, you know, the best razors to shave your beans. I don't want to see that, you know? Good grief. I mean, they couldn't get any women to promote the makeup for women? They couldn't? Look at me. I'm applying this lipstick under my... And this one guy has like a rhinestone barrette in his beard. I mean, come on.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is May.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's a penis. I don't know. It could be, you know. Not trying to be mean, but you were born with a peen, dude. Stop. Is it time for a break, though? Because I could go more. I had a bad allergic reaction to medication, so I'm on steroids. And I had, like, my eyes swell up, my face. I take no responsibility for anything I say right now. Just call me Hunter.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so a couple of things I didn't get to last time. I want to make sure I get. Apparently, Ray Epps is suing Fox for defamation. That's the guy who's on camera who's, like, trying to get everybody to... He was trying to get rile everybody up. But how dare you kill someone or anything? And it's interesting, like, no one ever brought him really forward for public questioning. He's being accused of helping to stage manage the quote-unquote insurrection. He says he was targeted by the network. He's seeking unspecified damages. But he's on video. I'm just curious. Like, you're on video, though. Like, come on. Also, Wikipedia is, again, trash. A lawmaker was banned from Wikipedia after a self-editing spree. And, of course, they're going after Representative Mike Lawler of New York. Now, Wikipedia, anyone can say whatever they want about you. It doesn't have to be true at all. You're not allowed to edit it at all whatsoever. I mean, Wikipedia is so unreliable, you can't even admit it in court. It's not even admissible in court. But they went after Mike Lawler because he was trying to edit out incorrect information on his Wikipedia page, but they're professional welfare trolls, and all they do is just, like, sit on the computer all day long. That's all they do, and they fight people on Wikipedia. So they banned him now. And an otter in Santa Cruz is hassling surfers and stealing their boards. An aggressive sea otter in California, it's taking the boards away. It's stealing them from surfers in the lineup. She's taking them away. It's actually quite adorable. Just let her do her thing. Stick with us. Simon Atiba's next.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen across the country. You can stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast on Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. You know, I have to tell you, I remember specifically, this was, a couple of years ago when Jim Acosta was at a press briefing and he got up and he was always argumentative and he always interrupted everything. And he actually interrupted. He would shout over other journalists. I mean, it was every single news conference to memory or press availability to memory. And there was at one point, and I'm pulling up the story from my notes, where he actually put his hands on one of the White House aides because they were going to have a tug of war over the microphone. And I remember all of the journalists rushed to his defense, not all, but most of them rushed to his defense. And they were so upset when the Trump administration was discussing a penalty for Jim Acosta. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. There was these accusations that the administration was somehow stepping all over the sanctity of the free press. And I mean, it was like King George all over again. Well, now fast forward to today. Actually, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to June. And we've talked to this reporter about this before. His name's Simon Atiba. And he's like one of the, I can count on one hand, like actual reporters in the room who asks the questions that we are all thinking, but we're not there and we can't ask. He asks very well-informed questions. He pushes for answers. And this makes the administration furious, particularly Karine Jean-Pierre. So there was one particular press conference when he was asking a question and he wanted it answered. They weren't answering him. They don't really call on him anymore. Actually, I don't think they called on him in weeks. And now he apparently gets a threat from the White House. I think this is a first that I've seen from the Biden press office, where they're threatening to pull his hard pass. That's the credential that allows you to go under the White House grounds and ask questions if he interrupts any other briefings. So You mean if he does his job and he expects answers to hard questions? That's kind of what how I understand it. Simon Atiba joins us now. He's the chief White House correspondent at Today News Africa. He joins us via Skype. Simon, always a pleasure to have you. Did this surprise you, this news from the press office?
Thank you, Dana, for having me. Yes, it surprised me because they actually coordinated with the Washington Post. 2 days before the White House sent me the letter, the Washington Post did a hit piece on me, and they said how horrible I was. And then out of the blue, I received an email from the White House, and the title of the email was Warning Letter. And they are saying that essentially they are trying to silence me. If I yell a question, if I interrupt any other press briefing, they will kick me out. And as you said, Jim Acosta used to, you know, interrupt all of them. He wasn't the only one. You had another guy called Brian Caremo, so who was always interrupting the press briefing, because then they thought that they claimed that President Trump was the bad guy and, you know, they needed to oppose him. And now President Biden is in office and, you know, everything should be really great. And so they are trying to silence me for doing my job and for asking the question that the people really care about. And, you know, I'm just asking anyone who is listening or, you know, or watching this to just keep praying for me, keep praying for courage, because one of the reasons I came to the U.S. is because of the First Amendment. The only country that is almost like the U.S. was more than 2,500 years ago in Athens. And once you lose that freedom of the press and that freedom of expression, the country collapses. And we've seen it with other countries. And, you know, it's unfortunate that they're just trying to silence me. They don't want me to ask questions. They've not called on me. Karine Jean-Pierre has not called on me in 9 months.
Wow.
She didn't call on me when President Biden received 50 African leaders in Washington, D.C. Didn't call on me when the first lady went to Africa. Didn't call on me when the vice president went to Africa, when the secretary of state went to Africa. Even in background calls, they don't call on me. I send emails and my emails go unanswered. And they've also banned me from attending 99% of President Biden's press conferences. And so I'm left with, you know, the last resort where I yell a question once in a while after many months. And now they brand me, they label me as disruptive and rude. And all of them, all the people writing those stories against me, they should really be ashamed of themselves, the Washington Post, The Hill, and all of them, because they are doing one-sided story. They are not looking into the discrimination against me. They just sit down and they read my tweet and they write a negative story against me. Some of them are actually jealous. Mm. And it's unfortunate that they're trying to do that, especially because I'm reaching 200 million people on Twitter every 28 days, reaching between 7 to 10 million people every single day. And because of that, they've identified me as someone they need to target.
It's unbelievable. We're talking with Simon Atiba, who, if people are unfamiliar with his work, he's a very well-known and well-respected reporter. I mean, you're an international reporter, so you have quite a large distribution, for the lack of a better way to put it. And it's amazing the journalists that the White House does prioritize, the questions from, you know, the reporters whose questions they do take, because they're softballs. They're not really questions. They're statement of fact. They're not really, you know, inquisitive at all. And it really shocks me, too. You mentioned the Washington Post wrote the piece about you before you even received the letter from the White House. So someone in Biden's press office told the Washington Post before they told you.
Yeah. No, so they went to the Washington Post and they told them to do a hit piece on me. And when the Washington Post sent us an email, we could see it. And we told them, before the White House sent us a letter, we told them, if you are trying to do a hit piece on Mr. Atiba, my office told them it would be a long-term mistake, because we could see the guy he was asking me, are you trying to grab attention? I say, hey, you know, I've been doing this for more than 15 years. I've been arrested in Cameroon and kept in a dark cell, attacked by pirates on the Gulf of Guinea with an AK-47 to my head, you know, kidnapped in Nigeria from a bus and dumped in the woods and left for dead. I'm not seeking attention. I go to the White House every single day, have attended more press conferences than every single person who covers the White House. And when I tweet from the White House, my tweets are seen more than any single person in that briefing room, including people from CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, because they don't connect with the audience. You know, they believe that they are too big, and now they rely on their, you know, networks, and they don't really build any connection with the audience. And I've realized that you need to do the job. It's about the job and the job for the people. And they are trying to silence me simply because I'm doing my job, simply because I've decided I won't send my questions in advance. Most of them send their questions in advance with the president. And you remember a few weeks or months ago, President Biden was caught with, you know, he had the question in advance, the picture of the LA journalist. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they do there. Everything is a sham. And they pretend to be doing a really great press conference when actually you receive the question in advance and the person is asking you the same question. And you go through your note and you begin to read the question. You are not even smart enough to pretend as if you don't have, you didn't receive the question in advance. So it's unfortunate that they are doing this to me, and they are making a mockery of the First Amendment, which allows me to do my job and which allows anyone to, you know, have the right to free expression. Mm. And they're trying to silence me, basically.
We're talking with Simon Atieva with Today News Africa, who the White House has threatened to pull his hard pass if he asks any other tough questions or tries to even do what reporters do and ask a question out loud of the spokesperson or of the administration. Simon, it seems like are there any other, you have the Washington Post that wrote a hit piece, and I've seen other publications amplify this. For all the talk about the sanctity of the free press, have any of the free press defended you?
No, none. All of them, because, you know, when you cover the White House, you know, it's the top here in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. You travel on Air Force One with the president, you attend social events, you go for yoga. So they are living their life. And so if you become critical of the people in power, you lose those privileges. So what they do now is to protect the state and crush the little guy, even though President Biden claimed that he was the guy for blacks and brown and the little guy. And the people on the left, who always brand the people on the right as racist, what they're actually doing to me is pure discrimination and racism. Because Jim Acosta did it, they protected him. Actually, someone played a radio recording of a child crying at the border during the Trump administration, during a press conference. And they didn't threaten that person. But when it comes to Simon Atieva, black from Africa, and they pretend to be doing the job, but actually what they are doing, they are hiding their hatred and racism. And they are defaming me and trying to assassinate my character so that people can hate me and believe that I'm this dumb guy who goes to the White House and disrupts press briefings. Yeah. Any single person who listens to me or who reads me, read my story or read me on Twitter, realize that I'm smart. I'm not there to disrupt any press briefing. I sit there for months. I raise my hand, send them emails, ask questions, and they don't answer. They don't call on me during press briefings. They don't call on me during background calls. They don't respond to my email. When I go to their offices, they actually close doors on me. They close doors on me. And when I meet the press secretary at the restaurant, as it happened the other day, she was just on my left side, and I said hi to her because I didn't know I don't believe we should take it personal.
Right.
And, you know, she gave me this death stare. She could have killed me. If ice could kill, I would be a dead person right now. And, you know, it's a shame what's going on. And most people who are watching this believe in the freedom of the press. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to do that, do my job, ask the questions. And now I'm being sidelined, and they're doing everything to kick me out.
And there's really, I mean, where can you go to remedy the situation? Because the White House Press Correspondents Association, the way that I understand it, they kind of close the door on you because they stay in line with the administration. They like that access to power, as you said. They like the perks that go along with that high placement as a journalist. So they haven't, from what I understand, haven't been receptive to your very real concerns.
No, they actually connived with the White House to kick me out. They prevented me from attending the dinner. You know, there's this big dinner that takes place mm-hmm. in Philly. April every time with the president in attendance, the vice president. What they did was they kicked me out of the WACA. The president of the White House Correspondents Association, Tamara Keith, she's doing a horrible job. I think her show was canceled because people were not listening. And those are the people who dictate. Those are people who dictate how journalism should be. When she tweets, there are two or three people who like it because she's not connecting with the people. When I tweet, sometimes I have 110,000 people who like it. And some of my tweets reach 9 to 10 million people. I'm connecting with the people. I've done the job. And I was trained as a journalist, first degree in journalism, second degree in journalism. So they can say, oh, my God, this guy is not trained as a journalist, doesn't work as a journalist. I do only one job. I have no second job. I have nothing else. And they're just trying to silence me, attacking me, using the Washington Post to do a hit job on me. We are sending them a letter asking them to retract their story. If they refuse, we take them to court. It's a shame what's going on here in Washington.
It's a shame, and it's a shame that other reporters don't have the back of an actual real reporter. But, you know, you mentioned jealousy, and I think that's part of it because you're actually doing the job. Simon Atiba, I think one of the best ways to help Simon fight back on this is to read his work and share his work. You can find him on social media at Simon Atiba, A-T-E-B-A, and you can also read him at Today News Africa all over the internet. Simon, you do amazing work. Thankfully, we still have someone who's willing to ask the hard questions and doesn't care what is thought of him in D.C. He only cares about the people reading his work and serving the truth to those people. So thank you for that effort. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. That's infuriating stuff, is it not?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, this... I want to do the nunchuck one. I love nunchucks. Tampa Free Press. A Florida man faces 10 years after deputies find a gun and two swords and nunchucks. This is in Cape Coral. The 43-year-old man faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in federal prison. He was driving carelessly. He was going more than 100 miles per hour. And a Sarasota County Sheriff's Office stopped him for speeding. They conducted a background check. They found he was a convicted felon. He was on federal supervised release. He was on drugs. He had a firearm in the vehicle. Then they got the nunchucks from the driver's seat. Then they got the sword. I mean, for crying out loud, what did he not have on him? He's back. And if you thought he was going back to the pokey, guess what? You're right. He totally is, because he violated his supervised release, his terms. This Fort Myers man was arrested for dump truck arson. I am really trying to understand his beard.
I saw that. It's part Amish almost.
Yeah, it's like a strap that keeps on his bowl cut. I don't know. The 43-year-old, right? Is he 43? 23-year-old. His Jason Kinsley was arrested by Fort Myers police detectives. They said that because he's apparently been setting dump trucks on fire. There are a couple of different instances. So They determined it to be arson, Bureau of Fire, Arson, Explosive Investigations. They interviewed him. They determined he was the arsonist. And then while he was being interviewed, he admitted to being present for another car fire. And then just came out and said, yeah, we were lighting cars on fire at a junkyard. So he's totally arrested. I mean, why is that your... Do you not have a hobby? Like, pickleball is really popular right now. Like, that's what he chooses to do? He's 23 years old, for crying out loud. Like, you're doing that instead of... Like, you could be doing pickleball instead of setting stuff on fire. There you go. I don't know. Let's see. I got a couple of others here. This, a Fox 45 or 35. Florida man was arrested after deputies recovered 88 grams of cocaine and a false ID. He looks very pleased with himself. Omar Feliciano looks very pleased with himself. Volusia County. They found 88 grams of the cocoa. Someone tell Hunter, over $4,000 in cash, a fake ID. He's facing a bunch of other charges, too, because he had possession of narcotics with intent to distribute, fraudulent Puerto Rican ID, armed trafficking of cocaine, resisting arrest without violence, a whole bunch of other stuff that they're not even actually getting into. Oh, he was in illegal possession of a firearm because, yeah, his record, all the drugs. He has two felony warrants in two different counties. Now he's being held without... Over $500,000, $511,000 bond is what he's in on. He looks super happy, like in his mugshot. Most people don't look that happy. What's wrong with him? Why does he look that happy in his mugshot? That's not right. Not right at all. We have a lot more to get into. We have a third hour on the way coming up. We've got culture. We also have the latest with 2024, the Ray hearing, so much more. Stick with us.
And you gave us huge support. I want to thank to all Americans. We understand that it's more than $43 billion for today. It's big support. And I understand that it's all your money, but you have to know that you spend this money for not just for fighting. You spend this money for our lives. And I think that we save the lives for Europe and for all the world.
I know that that's how he's trying to cast it, but that's not really the truth of it. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. And what I got so many things still that I just scrolled down on my rundown and realized, oh, wait, I only got halfway through the second hour. Sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse, or over at Substack called Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out there regularly. So that obviously was Zelensky, who's saying, yes, it's all your money. Well, I know it's all our money. I mean, I know it is because we earned it and we paid the tax on it. I just reject the idea that he is presenting here that it's Ukraine that's fighting off Russia, as though Russia is going to continue to expand. I don't think it's a dying empire. It's a dying empire. I mean, did you just see the little, I know that some people who want to act like everything is 3D chess are trying to say, oh, did you see what happened? Like they got that guy out of the way. I don't really think it's that at all. I think that there actually was a lot of palace intrigue that was happening, but I reject the idea that this is Ukraine that's just fighting Russia off and that everyone else in the world would be dealing with Russia if they weren't. I don't think that that's accurate at all. I think that this would have been over a lot earlier had certain entities not encouraged it and dragged it out. In fact, I think it was actually wrapping up at one point before then all of a sudden things changed and the Biden administration's like, here, let's launder some money through your conflict. We need the conflict to keep going so we can launder money through it. I mean, that's just, you know, my theory. You know, you can take it or leave it. You know, some might call it theory. Others might call it facts, F-A-C-K-S, facts. Just saying. In my defense, and if you're watching, I've had a major allergic reaction to medication. My eyes were swollen shut, like I had a rash. It broke out all over my face. So I'm on a massive amount of steroids right now to handle it. It was a medicinal thing. It was, no, I've never gotten the government clot shot. That never happened. It was to Augmentin because I had a non-conjunctivitis eye infection. So it was Augmentin. That's what I was reacting to. Anyway, I'm fine. But I look a little plain today and I have roid rage. So my whole point in this is that I just think that this would have been done a lot earlier had this not. And that's how he's presenting it, and that's his job to do that. He's, you know, that's the message that he has to parlay. However, I just don't think that that's the reality of, and we don't even know where's our money going. Like, where's the itemized list, right?
Yeah,
where's the itemized list? If you've ever done anything like charitable, or, you know, where you've had to go and get stuff for charity, and or you've had to, you know, anything even remotely like that, even for business, you know, you always have to have an account of exactly what was spent, where it was spent. You have to keep all your receipts. You turn it in, you know, all of this other stuff showing, okay, I got, you know, this for, you know, X, Y, Z. Like one of the things that we do is we help with back to school stuff every year. Because there's, you know, a lot of people need backpacks, a lot of kids need backpacks and school supplies and school clothes and new shoes and all this kind of stuff. And you have to keep a list of everything just so you know who's got what and who needs what, right? Why can't they do, I mean, this, not to diminish the problem of people who have issues here domestically, but this seems like a far bigger issue considering it's billions and billions of dollars. Why isn't there any kind of itemized list for that, right? You got a question, Kane?
It's so bad that they actually had a clerical error that somehow was in Ukraine's favor. Remember that? When they found $6.2 billion.
Oh, well, because that happens all the time. You just got to check the couch cushions.
I am also interested in that invoice.
It was three. They said $3 billion.
Oh, $3 billion? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was an accounting error
that
occurred, you know, because it's $3 billion. It's easy to misplace.
Yeah.
It was some weapons assistance. I know that I often misplace the $3 billion that I get.
It's hard to keep track of $3 billion.
Yeah, like back in 2008, it was because I was a K-O-C-H. They call me a Coke whore because I did grassroots stuff. Never got the Coke check, ever. And then it was the manufacturer's check for firearms. Never got a manufacturer check. You know, $3 billion. I guess it's so easy to misplace. Do you remember that time, Kane, that you shook out your couch cushions and you found $1.5 billion?
Oh my
gosh. Wow.
That was the best. I couldn't believe I just misplaced
clerical
it.
Clerical error.
It's crazy.
Yes, please. So, got questions. We got some questions. But he's saying, yes, we know it's your money, and we know it's, you know, all of these, we understand this. However, you know, this is for, it's not for all of us, though. I reject the idea that Haley and other people, and don't misunderstand me, this is not personal, it's politics. I actually can, now there's some people I personally don't like, and you will know, I'll tell you. But this is, it's not personal, it's politics. I don't make everything political personal. I get aggravated when people do. Gosh, nothing ticks me off and churns my butter more than when people make political things personal. That's immediately how you can know the emotional age and intelligence quotient of an individual, if they make the political personal. I don't. I mean, I can if you want me to, but I really... So she seems like a nice enough person. She's wrong on a lot of the foreign policy stuff. She's wrong on a lot of the culture war stuff. So I know that some people, and Pompeo, who I like, he's been on the show. First question I asked him was about the aliens. You think I'm going to have the CIA guy on and not talk, ask that? Are you high? Like, what's wrong with you, Hunter? No. But the issue is that they promote is that, oh, well, Russia's going to keep expanding if we don't stop them here. No, they're not. They're broke. They're broke, girl. They're broke. Come on. It's a dying empire. Well, they don't want to have they're gonna hit back. They're gonna keep going. They don't want NATO on any of their borders. They have NATO on their borders. Geography 101. I know we've gone over this. I mean, Latvia is a NATO nation. Where's Latvia? Oh, it's on the border. Russia's northwest border. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I mean, it's maybe they don't want NATO right there, the Black Sea, but that's, you know, irrelevant. I mean, this could have been the whole point is that it was couched as they don't want NATO on their border. Russia's not going to keep going. It's just not how it's going to be. I'm more concerned about China, that absolutely would love to, than I am Russia. Now, that being said,
just so you know,
yes,
it was $6.2 billion.
Was it? Why is why is
I just
AP?
Put the story in because that's a story from May, and then in June they corrected themselves.
You are correct, sir. I stand corrected. It's rare. So, happens once ever.
$6.2 billion. That's just easy to misplace.
Oh, well. I mean, it's still under 10. It's only $6.2 billion. Who among us? Right? Who among us, guys? Come on. Let's not cast stones here. But still. I'm just saying. Okay. I want to get into some of this. Because I think this is an important issue. I do think it's an important issue. But I also get so sick and tired of talking about it because I feel like it's being perpetuated by the press. The press wants this to drag on. The White House wants this to drag on so it can look like Biden's doing something. Look, he's got a foreign policy thing that he's doing with Ukraine. And he can conveniently launder money through it. Oh, look at that. That's what I think. Yes, that's exactly what I think. I don't. Speaking of the Bidens, the Secret Service, as you know now, closed the cocaine investigation. I have to say, some of the discussions from the YouTube chat, Larry said that it was just left over from the Warren G. Harding administration. Another suggested that it was Lincoln's coke. It fell out of the ceiling. That makes sense, you know, with Lincoln. That Mary Todd, I heard she hit the rock pretty hard. Just, you know, just saying. it's true. It's a true story. Did I send you guys this video? I'm going to put this in, I'm going to drop this in. So bear with me. Because I see things and I make a note of things that we got to talk about before we part for the day. And then we get back together tomorrow and gossip. So I wanted to switch gears here a little bit because this story, it's a culture war, some culture war stuff, which is super appropriate. Costco is apparently delivering the death blow to Bud Light. They gave him the Star of Death. So that's, I didn't know this. So this is apparently, they have a way of how they do business. They have, I'm going to pull this up, Star of Death. Did you know that?
I did.
The Star of Death. So this comes by way of Newsweek. Photos shared on social media show that Bud Light has allegedly received Costco's so-called Star of Death. A small asterisk at the top right-hand corner of items' price tags, which the retailer uses to signal that a product will no longer be restocked. Oh! once it's sold out. Oh! It shows price tags for all these Bud Lights at all these different Costco stores. And one Twitter user said Costco was selling a 2x12 pack for $14. They said they were practically giving it away. Oh, my. There's lots of photos. Oh, my. Yeah, they had all the asterisks by it. Oh, wow. All these different Costcos across the country. The Star of Death. Now, Reddit has said that some Costco stores might choose to only not restock the 16-ounce cans and then continue selling some of the other 12-ounce cans, which is a more standard size. But apparently there was a photo showing an asterisk in a different store in a different part of the country showing an asterisk on the 12-ounce can. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. They're having some issues, the Bud Light. It keeps happening. Now, while reporting on this, there's a correspondent over at CNN named Ryan Young, who's probably going to get fired sometime. I'm just saying. Because this guy, I'm going to make fun of him. He's the senior executive at NBC Universal, retired, and he calls himself Hollywood's ultimate insider. His name's Mike Sington. Anyone who calls themselves Hollywood's ultimate insider isn't. So he goes after Ryan Young. He says, quote, CNN correspondent Ryan Young misgenders Dylan Mulvaney twice during the report, calls her he and him. Here's the video of Ryan Young's report. Listen to this.
This time from the LGBTQ community as well. Let's get to Ryan Young. He's following all this. Ryan, this seems to be the controversy that just won't quit. What now?
Yeah, you know, we are talking a lot these days, it seems like, about culture wars. I mean, just that last conversation you and Sarah were having kind of dovetails all into this, because everyone seems to be taking sides over everything. And it really got to the point where we went out to the streets to talk to people just to get their ideas about how much confusion and how much anger has been caused by this Bud Light controversy. Just listen to the people on the street who are sort of upset that this has gotten taken so far out of hand.
He says he and him talking to CNN. Oh, man. And they're mad. Mike Sington is mad. This NBC guy, this Hollywood insider, says Ryan Young is misgendering Dylan Mulvaney. You know why? You know why? You don't control speech, bruh. And not to be mean, but he was born with a peen. Like I said. That's because Dylan Mulvaney's a dude. There's no such thing as misgendering. Literally no such thing as misgendering. That's not even a word. You know how assault weapon isn't a real thing? Neither is misgendering. Exactly. The only way you could misgender someone is if it's like Pat from SNL, which you could not even do that as a segment today. Although I think Pat was a chick because it was played by a chick. Yeah. So I'm just saying. But that's not a real thing. But this guy, he was trying to get a rage mob going against this contributor, this Ryan Young dude over at CNN. He was trying to get a rage mob going against this guy because he used the correct scientifically backed pronouns. Now, I don't know that anyone's taken it, because I feel like at least on that front, people are mad. They're just done with it. They're done with the rage mob. You're not going to sit here and control a dude's speech or a woman's speech. You're not controlling anybody's speech. Just stop. You can't sit here and force other people to accept someone else's make-believe self-perception. This is not how it works. Otherwise, my bank would believe that I'm a billionaire. And they don't. They're mis-economicking me, making that up. We have a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. It's true. You know it is. Come on.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, this... from the FDA. The FDA is now approving for the first time over-the-counter birth control pills. They did this today. They approved the birth control pill, O-pill, to be available over-the-counter. Can't wait for Democrats to oppose it, just like they did the previous two times that Republicans try to push for this to happen, you know, because it takes money away from Planned Parenthood. It's the first non-prescription birth control pill in the United States. First, it's a mini pill that only uses progestin, apparently. So they said it's a milestone, a big leap forward. So that was approved today. Now, the FTC is investigating whether or not ChatGPT actually harms consumers. So the Federal Trade Commission has opened up an expansive investigation into OpenAI, looking into whether or not the maker of the ChatGPT bot has run afoul of consumer protection laws by putting personal reputations and data at risk. The agency sent the company a 20-page demand for records as to how it assesses and addresses those risks. That's according to WaPo. So it's the fastest-growing consumer app in history. It's set off a AI arms race in Silicon Valley, which is, it's true. That's a good way to describe it. Also, this from Jerry Dunleavy over at, I want to say this is over at Free Beacon. So they said that new details on the Chinese spying sagas related to Eric Swalwell and Dianne Feinstein, some pretty big details on this. In fact, apparently the FBI was, sounds like they said the FBI was involved. You remember Fang Fang, the whole situation with Fang Fang and how she was like a, she's this Chinese national, et cetera, et cetera. So apparently the FBI top brass may have politicized the investigations into it. More on this in a minute.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you worried that the political instability in U.S. will cause issues in the alliance in the future?
Let me be clear. I didn't say we didn't guarantee it. We couldn't guarantee the future. You can't tell me whether you're going to be able to go home tonight. No one can be sure what they're going to do.
I don't exactly know what he meant by that. That was Joe Biden being snippy to a Swedish reporter when he was taking, or sorry, Finnish reporter. He was taking questions on expanding NATO in Helsinki. And this Finnish reporter asks him and mentions, you know, the political instability is what she said. And he snapped at her. He's like, you don't know if you're going to go home tonight. Oh, my gosh. You know, if that had been, I'm going to say it, if that had been Trump, people would have been like, Donald Trump just threatened that Finnish reporter. He told her she's not going to go home. She's the correspondent of the Finnish agency YLE. And it is kind of odd. He goes, nobody can be sure what they're going to do. I didn't say we couldn't guarantee for the future, because she was asking, you know, the political instability, what, you know, what assurances, if anybody joins NATO, do they have of being protected? What assurances do they have? And I just thought he's like, no one can be sure of what they're going to do. Yeah, I think that's not really what she was asking. And, you know, she does raise a decent point there. It's not a bad question. I mean, consider, you know, that right now the political back and forth with just the defense funding and DAA, because Democrats are insisting on including all this goofy stuff in here. And for whatever reason, they want to include all this goofy stuff that has nothing to do, you know, taxpayers paying for trans surgeries and everything else has nothing to do with military readiness. He had to ask her to repeat her question, or what this other reporter repeat their question. But I mean, it's a decent. Oh, he bit her head off. Oof. Then what was this that he did? Hold up. I wanted to play this. I can't figure this out. Audio soundbite 18. What is this? What is this? This was at this NATO press avail. Listen.
The Minister Jacobo, daughter of Ireland, you can tell that's a 40 slip. I'm thinking of home, the daughter of Iceland. I want to say, I think we've had a very productive.
I don't think it was a Freudian slip. I think he just, it starts with an I. Sounds the same. Let's do it.
It ends with land.
Ends with land, yeah. What did he say? The ministers of Cola's daughter of Ireland. It's all diminishing ministers. It's kind of what.
On the struggle bus.
Yeah, he's on the struggle bus. But, you know, he worked 4 whole days. So, you know, what are you? Who are you to question? He worked 4 whole days.
But he didn't, though.
Well, one of those days was on the beach. He was working hard.
Right, so 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 days. There's this. I know. There's this scoop. Very interesting. Remember Eric Swalwell? I cannot stand him. Eric Swalwell looks like he smells like old cheese. He just looks like one of those guys that has like dandruff and film on his teeth. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't. Now, remember how I say politics isn't personal? It doesn't have to be. Okay, with him it is. I don't like him. It has nothing to do with politics. Actually, it has to do with politics and personal. I think he's a chauvinist. I'll never forget when he told me he couldn't talk to me. He wanted to speak to my boss. And I was like, I am my boss, B. Are you? So there's a scoop on the Swalwell Fang Fang stuff. Apparently FBI brass played politics with the investigation. Who knew? Jerry Dunleavy had the whole report Very interesting. He says that the details on the Chinese spying sagas related to Swalwell and Feinstein, but remember, she was driven around by a Chinese spy for how long? Decades. They say the revelations raised some serious concerns about how the FBI's top brass may politicize the investigations. They limited, apparently, the ability of agents to fully investigate CCP espionage targeting two high-profile Democrats. Now, they said that it's, according to a former FBI official from Counter Intel, and they say that Feng, a.k.a. Feng Feng, of the Swalwell fame, and Russell Lowell of the Feinstein story, were believed to be co-optees of the Chinese Ministry of State Security, MSS. That is the Communist Chinese Party's intel and secret policy agency response for foreign intel and counter-intel ops worldwide. Fang and Low, which kind of sounds like, sidebar, sounds like a boutique. Fang and Low, where you can get super expensive ice cream. Nancy Pelosi loves it. They were specifically interacting with and speaking to the MSS 12th Bureau, which is a CCP spy bureau. And Feng was a Chinese national who targeted all kinds of politicians. She was very, very close to Swalwell. Lo was an ethnic Chinese U.S. citizen with a key and a key staffer for Feinstein in her Senate office in California. And he was a representative and was representative for her with the large Asian American community within the state. So they both had contact with CCP intel officers at China's consulate in San Francisco. And Feng and Lo knew each other. They were pictured together at Chinese-related events. And in both instances, FBI investigations were essentially ended when the leadership decided to provide defensive briefings to Swalwell and Feinstein, citing their key roles, rather than allowing the investigations into the Chinese spy efforts to continue. They said that the FBI offices in D.C. and San Fran came together in 08 and 09 to try to figure out how to deal with the MSS and Chinese intel targeting of these politicians. Now, he adds that the new details show that, because Axios did a story on this, you know, there was the FBI absolutely believed wholeheartedly that there was a sexual relationship between, you know, Farts McGee and Feng, right? You know what I'm talking about. How do you do, consider, how do you do that on TV and you're the host and you don't say something? I'd have said something. According to the former FBI official from Counterintel, the FBI had FISA surveillance up and running on Feng Feng. And they knew, apparently, she was targeting Swalwell. And so a lot of the stuff she was doing, her communications, her comings and goings, all of that was monitored. Now, the FISA related to the suspicions that she was a CCP agent. They didn't think that she was an intel officer per se herself, but they did believe that she was an absolute instrument for CCP intel. And she was on the radar of CIA, NSA, the FBI, and they also believed that MSS, that's the CCP op, that they knew members of her family. So they opened up, according to Dunleavy's report, a parallel public corruption case that was related to all of this, and they made Swalwell a subject of the case as well because he had been involved with her, right? And so they said that they were looking at donations from the Chinese government, possible quid pro quo, bribery, and she was involved in all kinds of fundraising for his 2014 re-election bid. And apparently she facilitated illegal foreign donations to Swalwell. Huh. So his office provided an internship for Feng's family friend, and they, FBI thinks that that was a favor to Feng Feng. And then he was named House Intel Committee by Pelosi. And so the FBI's, you know, top leadership decided, ooh, we got to give him a defensive briefing. And that effectively apparently shut down the dual investigations by the Bureau. So they said that there was a lot of disagreement about the briefing from the FBI agents involved, because some of them, they wanted to keep investigating. There was something there to investigate. But the public corruption side, they said the public corruption side did not want to close the case. They wanted to keep going. But Counter Intel, they said so they didn't want to close the case either. But it was FBI higher-ups that overruled them and shut it down. She left really fast when she learned what was happening. And DOJ never publicly charged her with a thing. And so they just kind of brush it off. They're like, oh, no, Swalwell long ago provided information about this person. And, you know, he met her more than 8 years ago and he hasn't seen her in 6 years. And so he's not going to participate in the story, in any stories. Wow. And Lowe, Feinstein's spy that she didn't apparently know was a spy. These people are on intel committees, for the love. Apparently, she discussed all kinds of she discussed stuff with him because he apparently discussed a bunch of stuff with CCP while he was a staffer with CCP Intel. And their investigation into Lowe moved slowly for a few years. And then that was moved from being a counter intel op to a counter espionage. And then finally, the FBI was legitimately concerned by what he was up to. And so they worked on getting a FISA against him. The FBI drafted the FISA targeting Lowe and the Bureau, all this other stuff. They got all the agencies involved, DOJ, National Security Division, NSA, CIA, all of this. And they said that the FISA actually never got submitted to the FISA court, though. The FBI pulled it at the last minute. There was even an initial approval to search Lowe's home because he went to China the same time every year in December. And the FBI was planning a search for his home, but then that got called off by the then FBI Deputy Director, Sean Joyce. So FBI agents were told that, you know, they briefed Feinstein and that the investigation into Lowe, they allowed the FBI to ramp that up because but the FBI needed Feinstein support, all this stuff. They were politicizing it. And Lowe also left Feinstein's, he ended up leaving. FBI said Lowe knew that they believed that Lowe knew exactly what he's doing, what he was doing. There was a tacit understanding between him and CCP. So you have former FBI officials from the counterintel department saying that the way that the FBI handled these two absolute indisputable cases of Chinese spies who had infiltrated the circles and became personal aides to Swalwell and Feinstein. They say those are glaring examples of politicization within the Bureau. And it shows how the FBI is struggling to deal with us and how there's a double standard, especially with the defensive briefings. They're used in high profile cases involving political figures. There was a briefing that was given to then candidate Trump back in 2016, but then they used that. Dunleavy reports that it was actually a pretextual briefing, which the FBI exploited to advance Crossfire Hurricane. Is that not something? Whereas the defensive briefings given to Swalwell and Feinstein ended the investigation into Fang and Lowe.
We're all equal under the law.
Wow. That is damning. That is a seriously damning story. And it goes to show you how bad leadership in the FBI is. I mean, how many people do you have to get rid of in the FBI in order to clean it out? In order to remove the politicization of the agency? I mean, that's kind of the million-dollar question there. I mean, you have CCP spies. That's our biggest geopolitical foe right now. If we're not able to effectively deal with this, like here, like now, like this, I mean, for crying out loud, this is dangerous stuff.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Why do the Democrats think we should spend taxpayer money to pay for abortion or to pay for wokeism in our military? Do they want Disneyland to train our military? Or do they want a military force to be able to protect us and actually never go to war? So I don't think that's a problem to let members of Congress who are elected by their constituents to have a voice and a say.
That's Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker. He's right. He's talking about the NDA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and he's talking about the wokery that the Democrats insist on including in it. I just don't know why we have to have, as a part of this debate, taxpayer-funded surgery for soldiers who want to change their bits.
I don't want to pay for that.
I mean, if Democrats took all of that stuff out, that would be passed like now.
Yeah.
Like it always has been. There's never been an issue until Democrats were like, oh, let's put a bunch of this stupid stuff in here. That's why this is the way it is. Let's put all this stupid stuff in. Let's just do this. Let's add funding for abortions is birth control. Let's put that in there. That's why there's this whole, that's why there's this opposition from the right. Why do you need, you don't need that in there. Democrats want it so damn bad. You know what? Take up a plate. Pass the plate. Do it like that. We don't have to. We're all broke. Everybody's broke. We got inflation. I mean, geez, people can't even afford toilet paper. I had that headline yesterday. One listener said, I'm moving to D.C. There's only one safe place in the entire country to do cocaine, and that's the White House. It's true. You know he's right, though. You know he's correct. That is accurate. It's very accurate. So make sure you sign up for over at Substack, my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, because I have a couple of things that are coming out, one of which is going to be on some 2024 stuff, just to kind of put some stuff in perspective. There's so much hysteria. I'm so tired of the hysteria. So make sure you sign up for that, because that'll be coming out. I'm trying to wrap it up right now. There's just a, I had to go and look at a lot of polling, and I had to go and look at some fundraising, and I had to try to find some of the latest stuff. And so then dealing with the allergic reaction, oh my gosh. So we'll make sure we have that coming out. But you always get the show prep that goes out every morning, and there's all kinds of other additional things and deep dives and all that stuff. So make sure you check it out. And you can sign up over that. I have all the links in my social media profiles. And make sure you also check out YouTube as well, because we have our conversations with individuals. All the guests that we have on the program, we put up at YouTube. So you can go and you can access those there. And I'll put some, I think we're going to start doing a weekly wrap where we put all of those in one thing and send them out to subscribers. So you have all of that. All right. In the meantime, I almost hate to even ask what you're going to use for this, for today in stupidity.
Because there is so much to choose from. You know, it's just an American trait to want to question your government, question your government agencies.
Yeah.
The media used to do that years and years and years ago, except today they don't. This is CNN's Jeff Zulaney on how it's bad to question the FBI.
Stunning, really, when you think from campaign cycles gone bad. Gone by that Republicans are questioning and so sort of anti-law enforcement. It just, it's sort of mind-bending that we are at this point, but so we absolutely are. And at every Republican campaign event, every Republican candidate really running for office at any level, there is this skepticism built in of the FBI,
of the
government, of law enforcement.
All right, I'm done with this guy. He's, I mean, it's just so stupid.
Hi, have you met America?
Exactly.
Dude, has this dude met America? I don't think so. Folks, that does it for us this evening. We will finish out the week tomorrow. So don't miss. Back in the mic. Back behind the mic tomorrow. Have a great night.